On today's Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have yet another repost from, I believe this one was recorded in 2016, when we did another review of Iron Man 3. But this was me and Jeff. And those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a long time know that me and Jeff have very differing opinions about Iron Man 3. So me and Ashley recorded a new one, and that'll be dropping tomorrow. But it's kind of interesting because, like, that one we're more like critiquing it and talking about it in a very pretty positive way because we both really like that movie, but this one's a little more antagonistic. So hope you guys enjoy it. Enjoy this repost and wait on tomorrow. We will have the new episode reviewing Iron Man 3 with the context of the Infinity Saga being over. Enjoy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk Iron Man 3.
So let's talk Iron Man 3. We dropped our spoiler alert. We're good to go.
Yeah, I think we are good to go.
Spoiler alert, Pepper has had Extremis.
I was kind of sad that they had to get rid of her having Extremis. I kind of thought that'd be a great plot twist. Well, she just becomes an Extremis Avenger.
No. Yeah. No, she has to become Rescue.
No.
No. That's just going to be like a spin-off movie.
So,
Pepper this Potts movie is Rescue.
You hated it the first time you saw it.
I did not hate all of it the first time I saw it. I hated that they broke the Mandarin, and I still hate that they broke the Mandarin. And I can say, at like in the theater and now again, having seen it a second time now, the movie has me through most of it, but his repeated like anxiety breakdowns, like I more understand it now. I more understand why he's like having this
sure
panic attack thing happen all the time. They played it up way too much for my taste.
So. See, for me, that's where he is. That's the character development of this story. Like, Avengers messed him up. Like, going to another planet, like going to another galaxy and seeing things that there's just no way he could take out, and then him taking them out, like him being the hero of the world, but knowing that he's not. Like, he's always been so braggadocious and
sure
so
of
like sure of himself.
Yeah.
And now
he's been so confident that he is the power of the world.
He was like, I'll take Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
That's just, I think it's so believable that he'd be having those panic attacks. And for the first time in his life, he doesn't know.
It is believable that he could have the panic attacks. I just think that they played it up too much. Like, yes, I understand he is having panic attacks. You don't have to show me 400 times that he's breaking down mentally. I get it. I mean,
let's be real. It was like 4.
No, it was like 7.
It was like 4 or 5, I think.
It was like 7 of them.
And they talked about it more than that.
Yeah.
But we only actually see him go through it like 4 or 5 times.
It was like 6 or 7.
We could
count. Just fast forward it and just count.
Figure this out. But
now that and they like the breaking of the Mandarin really killed it. His lack of ability to get off of the armor. Like, yes, Iron Man is cool and all, like your armor is awesome, but like it's not working right now. Do something else. And he had to have a little kid just be like, You're a mechanic. Make something else. And he was like, oh yeah, okay, light bulb, I am that. Like, you didn't need a kid to do that for you. You make everything.
I think that goes in the storyline.
It does.
He's addicted to his suits. Like, he thinks of his suits as his extension of himself that he can't be without.
especially after the attack on New York. He feels like he has to be in a suit all the time. When he starts to panic for the first time in the movie at that donut shop, he goes out and gets in his suit. And he's like,
I think it was a sports bar, but still.
Oh, I'm thinking of Iron Man 2 when he's sitting in the donut.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Iron Man 2. We just watched it, and I'm like sitting here thinking about the wrong movie. We sat here and watched it together, and I'm still, it sounds like I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was the montage at the end that went through, like, footage from all three movies, or all three Iron Man movies.
My only real qualm with this movie ever, I don't care about the Mandarin. Couldn't care less. Don't care. I do think the Mandarin was a better villain than Aldrich Killian, though. I do think Aldrich Killian was a weak villain.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was fine, but it kind of goes with all of the Marvel. The complaint about Marvel's villains is they're kind of paper thin.
Yeah.
And I think Aldrich Killian was that.
Yeah.
He was menacing in places, but I just never felt. I never really felt like Aldrich Killian was going to take down Tony Stark. Now, if the Mandarin had been as menacing as he seemed like he was going to be, then maybe I could have believed that about the Mandarin, and maybe that would have been a better movie. But just because they decided not to go with the Mandarin, I thought that was a great twist. I remember thinking it was the most fun. When I watched it in the theater, I laughed for like minutes. Because when Trevor became Trevor, I love it. It's so funny.
I was confused. I kept thinking that they were going, like, he was baiting Tony into dropping his guard so that he could put his rings on and do crazy things. And that's what I was thinking was going to happen. I was like, oh, he's baiting him. It's going to be, oh, we think it's a twist, but then it's going to be like a double twist. And then, it's going like to be.
A lot of your problems with the movie are just what you thought it was going to be, and then it wasn't.
They gave me expectations and then took that away.
Yeah, I don't know if they gave you those expectations.
No, they did. They said the Mandarin, and I went, oh, God, because he is a wizard.
Yeah.
Basically.
And we know from Hail to the King he's out there somewhere.
All Hail the King.
Yes. All Hail the King. What did I say?
Hail to the King.
Oh, right. All Hail the King. Sorry.
How dare you? But one thing, you know, another thing that really gripes me about it is that it seems like with Trevor Slattery being Trevor Slattery and not being like a good, awesome, deep villain, that it's a waste of a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
But they said in the film that, you know, they gave me plastic surgery, and I was like, they could have just made him look exactly like the man, and the Mandarin could be out there and it could still be Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I would love an actual Mandarin to show up and still be Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
I will say though, in All Hail the King,
yes,
they go and show him in the '70s and he looks pretty similar.
Yeah.
So maybe, but you still could say they wanted to use the Mandarin, so they used, like, they found an actor who looked a lot like the guy they needed. Yeah, looked
close to him.
Yeah.
And then give him some surgery.
Maybe gave him some surgery to make him look a little younger, because maybe the Mandarin was younger, because he was an actor in the 70s, and he looked about the same.
Yeah.
So maybe Trevor was a little older than they wanted, or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe there is a Ben Kingsley character out there in the world who is the
Mandarin. I need that to happen.
That would be amazing.
Because he is so incredible as an actor.
Yeah. Well, that's what was so funny about the Trevor twist, is they used Ben Kingsley.
They subbed out an amazing actor that could have been a phenomenal villain for, like, a mediocre actor and a paper-thin villain.
Well, I'm just talking about what they did with Ben Kingsley. I agree. I already said Aldrich Killian was not as strong as a villain as the Mandarin could have been. We don't know how good the Mandarin. The Mandarin's a great villain to give a few speeches in a movie. He was real menacing.
Yeah.
And Ben Kingsley was amazing. But would it have been great if they used him
If they had separated the extremists. If they had separated
Extremists isn't in it. But we just don't know.
Storyline.
We just don't know what the Mandarin would have been. And that's just not the story they wanted to tell. They wanted to tell the story of Aldrich Killian. I agree. I don't love the Aldrich Killian storyline. I do think most of the most interesting stuff in the movie. The movie's about Tony, and all three Iron Man movies are about Tony.
Yeah,
they're not about the villain. The villain is okay in all three movies.
Like we've said before, that the most compelling Marvel stuff has been the things where you can get behind the villain and you can really identify with the villain. Sure. Kingpin, the Purple Man, or Kilgrave, Loki.
Identify and get behind. I don't know if I agree with any
okay,
of those
maybe
three.
Not. If you can understand their drive and see what really compels them and like and believe it and believe
if
that
if
a
their
real
motivation
person,
is believable.
Yeah,
I
agree
can
believe
with that.
That they're real people.
I'm not
they're the
say
best ones.
I can get behind them.
that's fair.
I can't get behind Purple Man or other dude or
Kingpin.
I there was a few moments in the show I could and. With Loki, there are moments where you can definitely get behind him. Like, well, you can understand.
It's the guys that you want the redemption for.
Yeah.
And you just don't have that with Killian at all. You're just like, he's a jackass. Kill him, please.
Yeah, I think they tried, but they didn't succeed. I won't dispute that. They with him being on the rooftop and that whole rooftop thing of him wanting to kill himself and... That honestly, when I first saw it, that really did compel me to feel for him, but I still didn't. He's just such a jackass after the fact.
Yeah, like that does not justify you being a dick now.
I would rather him stayed the kind of squirmy guy from the beginning, maybe with a clearer complexion because of Extremis or whatever. But like,
no, him, because of Noxzema.
Yeah.
A little bit of proactive, and he's better.
I would have. He gets too powerful and too cool.
Yeah, and the thing is, like,
for you to feel for him,
he got really, really powerful and really, really cool. But then nobody else was as good as him. Like, not even his second in command. He's got fire breath.
Yeah, but he's probably
and his
been,
second in command, dude, is still kind of like kind of twitchy a little bit every now and again.
He's probably been using it longer, and he probably doesn't get as good a care as Aldridge does. Like Aldridge probably has the premium Extremis experience.
he's in the presidential suite of the Extremis Hotel.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. Now, one thing on a rewatch. That we've talked about that I did concede before as a problem with this movie is Iron Man blowing up his suits.
Yeah.
And because all of us had talked about, some of the listeners had written in about how it feels like Iron Man is giving up he's giving up being Iron Man at the end of that movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it gives this sense of completion, like, I'm done with this thing. But, like, he does say... You know, I am still Iron Man. Like, yeah. You can take away my toys or whatever. I'm still Iron Man.
You can take away these toys. I am Iron Man. And he also says, before he ever blows them up, he says, I'm thinking I'm going to, what's the word he uses?
I'm going to shave it down a little bit.
Shave it down a little bit. Like, I don't, on a rewatch, especially after knowing that he's not stopping being Iron Man, I did not get the sense that he was going to stop being Iron Man.
But shave it down doesn't mean blow up all of them.
True, but he did say that this is all of those suits were a result of an obsessive Tony Stark hanging out in his basement building a bunch of kind of insane suits. Like he built a suit that just had like jackhammers for hands.
Yeah,
like he was like, you know what? I could get my suit can pick up a jackhammer. Like it's fine. Like.
But just, instead, I'm going to have it be really punchy.
Yeah, and he just blew up. Blew up the ones. Also, they were probably all really damaged.
What did Igor do other than stand under the crane?
Yeah, nothing.
Literally nothing.
And then, like, he built a bunch of single purpose.
Yeah, I want one that's really strong and sturdy.
Yeah, it doesn't. And that was really cool. Honestly, that was a great thing. Like, that was a really cool like
utility.
Yeah, that had. I loved the end of this movie.
That fight was a great idea.
It was a more
except
cynical
for
man
building up or blowing up everything.
Yeah, I mean, you could also say every one of them was probably really damaged.
That's headcanon, though.
True. I'm not saying. And the bottom line is the reason he did it was for Pepper because Pepper was worried about him and didn't like all those suits and didn't like that he was so. She saw what it was, which was kind of an addiction, and it was. I mean, at the beginning of the movie, he sends a suit to go on a date with her.
No, the suit greets her at the door.
No, he tries to tell her that he's in the suit. He's like, "Oh yeah, this won't open. You kiss me on the mouth.
Yeah, kiss me on the mouth slit part."
Or he said, "Kiss it right here," and he's downstairs working on his suits. Like,
now he's downstairs doing pull-ups.
That's right. But he's just obsessed. He's a little obsessed with being in his workshop.
Yeah.
And I think like that was him letting Pepper know. It's like, when you take a week off your phone because you've just been too addicted to your phone lately.
No, like,
he needed some non-tech time.
Yeah, but
to do with kids.
No. The thing is though, like if he's gonna make all of these suits, why not use them? Like when your house is being bombarded with missiles, that seems like a good time to have a house party protocol activate.
Right. Well, they might have.
He was fixated on this one suit that was a prototype. Like put it on Pepper. And then go get another one.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Get yourself in another one.
Well, the problem is, the one with the, yeah, it doesn't hold up. I don't know. I was going to say the one with the,
Mark 42?
Mark 42 seemed like it was the only one that could, split apart and come to him like that. But then at the end, they all come to him. So.
Yeah, and they all open up and let him jump in.
You could say maybe the house party protocol was not ready.
In the Avengers movie, at the end, he had on the bracelets for the one that came down and like sucked him in.
And I loved.
He could have had the same thing.
I loved in this movie. He did.
He had the little things in his body that like he could do like weird kung fu moves and get parts of his suit. That could have gone for any other suit and any like they all could have responded to that protocol.
But it was a prototype. And the other ones were not prepared for that.
Like, tap earbud, hey, because, you know, he had the earpiece that you never saw in the rest of the film.
It's always in his ear, yeah.
Tap the earpiece, hey Jarvis, give me a suit.
Yeah.
Done. Then he's got a functional suit. Like, hey Jarvis, give me the one that, you know, I saved New York in. And then he's got a functional suit that is able to do things and stop these helicopters and save his house and do all the things that he needs to do.
I hear you. I don't know. Although, here's my headcanon that makes absolute sense.
I don't like headcanon.
When the bomb has already hit the building at that point.
Some of them have, yeah.
One big one had, and you could say that this very likely that basement was already covered up,
but it wasn't though. You could like when the fissure happened in the floor, you could see into the basement.
No, not where all those suits were. Those suits were in a sub basement.
Yeah,
down below that all
they were the doorway the portal to it was easily visible, like in through the fissure.
I don't know about that, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's all headcanon anyway. I agree with you. They could have used some of the suits then.
He could have very easily gotten out of that.
And he did get out of it. It's not like he did not get out of it.
Well, he could have very easily, successfully defended his home.
Sure. Maybe. I mean, the home was already pretty much gone.
Yeah, I mean, he would have to
scrap it. From the moment they realized.
It would have been like an Avengers Tower kind of thing. Like, I guess it's time to just go ahead and scrap this and start over a little bit.
What I would have liked to seen is, instead of him seeing it on TV, him just having a couple of Iron Man suits hanging out on the roof, keeping an eye on things.
Yeah.
That's what I would have liked to see.
Sentry mode.
Yeah.
Just exactly. Like that.
And I mean, it's all
just like he did in Avengers 2.
Exactly, but that's later.
Yeah.
You know, it's all developing. Like he uses his suits more intelligently and for more things as the movies go on, you know? And he did just
well, we never see him like actually working on the whole like house party protocol or whatever in Iron Man 3. It's just like
he mentions it's a thing. Is it ready?
Yeah, like, I think it's time. House party protocol? Yeah, do it.
And the cynical man could say house party protocol is just a way to sell as many toys as you want to.
Yeah.
Because there are so many toys in that
game. Yeah, there are.
And that's cool. I don't mind that. Because I didn't think that. The first time I watched it, that was not in my mind. I was like, this is just a really fun scene.
Yeah.
With really clever action, you know?
Yeah. Like, you can blow up Iron Man suits without having to hurt Tony.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's one of the things like that kind of bugged me a little bit in the rewatch. It didn't bug me at first, but now it does. Is like you've got this genius guy who has saved the world before and he now has a whole bunch of suits that all have the same, like, kind of generally the same amount of power, but in different ways.
Right.
That are all just getting consistently blown up by random dudes that have lesser power than the guy he's currently fighting.
Like, yeah, but I would say that's the genius part. Like, Tony in a suit is much more powerful than a suit with AI.
That's Jarvis, the thing that I would concede is that, like, it's the whole, like, you can do a whole lot of things at once, or you can focus on one thing and do it very well. And that's, you know, Tony in a suit is better than Jarvis controlling a bunch of them, yes, but it's still, like, it felt inconsistent a little bit. I don't know.
It also, like, we talked about them being very specific to a certain task, a lot of those suits.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like,
these aren't the extremist battling suits.
Right, exactly. The particular
but suit then, like, needs. The one little bitty rocket that she kicks and blows up is, like, that's enough to kill Aldridge. Good job, everybody.
Yeah, we could come back, I suppose.
We had this in us the whole time.
So Batman has a utility belt with a pocket for every purpose.
Yeah.
Iron Man has a suit for every purpose.
He's got a utility closet. That's fair.
Yeah, that's a weird...
I like that.
But they're getting better. That's the thing. His suits are always getting better. And I think sometimes that process seems slow to us, but I mean, you think about how much work has to go into building one of these things, and how much work has to go into the AI for these things. Like,
he just rip and replace the AI. It's just like, hey, there's a new hardware interface. Let's tag in a little bit of code, but it's always Jarvis. A
lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, well, Jarvis does most of the AI work.
Yeah, but someone has to program Jarvis at this point. And anyway, at this point in the storyline, all that stuff's complicated. It's not like it's not like House Party Protocol would be an easy thing to program. Like, that, it's like,
yes, it would. That exact thing happened in Iron Man 2 with all the drones. He had the Navy drones and the Air Force drones and the Army and the drones. The
drones chase him.
Yeah,
they do get their butts kicked pretty handily, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Same basic thing.
Yeah.
Suitless. And then when he shows up in a suit, he's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been done.
Yeah, yeah. But
Tony's like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to keep that.
He did. I mean, like, he basically pulled an Iron Man 2 on Iron Man 3.
That's fair. So, I feel like I'm just beating this movie down so much. Yeah, like,
bunch of unfounded ways.
I did like it. Fuck you. Sorry. I did like it.
There's so much good about this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot
good. We've obviously had the disagreement for a while, so it's good to finally suss out the actual... Having just watched it, suss out our differences of opinion. And some of them I agree with you on. I'm not saying... it's just, at some point, some things are flaws, and some things are just something you didn't like. And so it's hard to suss all that out. Like, the Mandarin stuff doesn't bother me at all, just because I could... You know, I don't care.
I feel like we got, like, a pared down... weaker version of the Mandarin in Aldrich Killian, because the Mandarin does have fire capability in one of the rings.
Oh, really?
He's got, like, literally everything that you can think of in the rings.
Yeah, but I'm not even... His whole speech about, I am the Mandarin, I'm not even... That's just him being...
A douche,
yeah. Like, he is not the Mandarin at all.
You are not, sir. You have tattoos that came from somewhere, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Go away. Get blown up. And, you know, I did say a couple of weeks ago that it kind of bothered me that it was Christmas in the film.
Yeah.
Because, like, the movie came out in May, early May. Watching it now, being around Christmas time, and it's like, it's Christmas things happening, that doesn't bother me at all now. Like, it bothered me so much at the time, because I was like, it is hot outside.
It's so weird.
It is not Christmas. It's such
a weird way to, like... judge a movie.
I have that connection for time. If they don't establish that this is set in a specific time, like with Jessica Jones, it was like, this is in January. It happened a year ago. This is now, like, we're still in January. That's why it's cold outside. And then it was a little bit cold outside for us at the same time. Like, it kind of made me okay with it, but they didn't really, like... They were like, it's Christmas, but it doesn't look like Christmas. Now it looks like Christmas, but now it's not Christmas. And, like, you rebranded the Iron Patriot. This would have been a perfect 4th of July movie. Because he was mad at America. Everything America was bad.
Christmas was a little underused in this movie, I will say. I mean, we got the nice dance sequence where he's dancing to Christmas music, but he could have been dancing to anything and that scene would have worked.
Yeah.
The fact that it's Christmas is just kind of thrown in there.
Yeah. The, like, 4th of July would have worked better because of it being an American, like an exclusively American holiday, and they were attacking America.
Yeah.
The Iron Patriot rebranding for the 4th of July would have been like a great little thing. I could have accepted that.
Right.
Instead of them like taking away that from Norman Osborn, like that was a big part of the comics. Like that suit paint job came straight out of the comics.
Yeah.
And now they can't use that. They could, I guess. Norman Osborn could be like, hey, I took this back from, I'm just going to use it. I'll be the Iron Patriot now. Like, I guess they set it up for him to take it later, but like, he rebranded it and then did that
right.
in the comics. But that's, you know, small thing. That would have been perfect for a 4th of July thing.
Yeah. So suddenly, your main problems that I don't have are just like,
it doesn't fit in my head. None of it fit in my head. Some
weird problem with the weather outside affecting your viewing.
It wasn't frightful. Sorry.
It's just, I don't get that at all. It's like,
well, they said it was Christmas like one time. You're watching, and then they never touched on it.
Lord of the Rings, and you're like, hey, this isn't the Hobbiton. I can't view this.
Yeah.
The weather's totally different here.
I am not watching this in the Shire, and that is a problem.
I agree, that is a problem. But
now, just it threw me off with it being a Christmas movie in May.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't know. I don't think it's weird. But that's, I hear you. And then the Mandarin, anything comic book based, like the Iron Patriot stuff or the Mandarin stuff, that just never bothers me. I don't care. Even if I'm into a canon, like, this is a different canon. Like, we're talking about a different canon here.
Yeah.
Even if I'm into...
But they're drawing inspiration from it.
Sure. And they can do whatever they want with that inspiration.
No.
Yeah.
It has to be perfect. It has to go perfectly along with it.
No. Anyway, so... Positive points on this movie. Tony Stark is Tony Stark.
Tony Stark is always Tony Stark.
That's pretty great. I thought it was interesting to have the original, you know, pre-Iron Man Tony Stark feature pretty prevalently at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. You get to see him be a ladies' man again.
Yeah. Get to be a ladies' man, which I don't know that he ever really stopped fully. Like, not that he's...
You can see the twitches when there's like a hot chick around. He's like,
Well, in Iron Man 2...
No, I'm not into that anymore.
In Iron Man 2, he's even, you know, he's still hitting on Natalie Rushman so much.
Yeah.
I
want one.
I want one.
No.
that's pretty great. So it was nice to see that old Tony being that way, but also he's a little more that way. He's a little more of a jerk in the flashback, you know?
Well, yeah.
A little bit more of like, him sending
He Aldridge. Hadn't quite grown up yet.
Yeah. Definitely hadn't. I don't think he grows up until probably the end of Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
Honestly, until the end of this movie. He's still growing. I mean, you know, he's still changing pretty dramatically. I think the end of this movie is the end of the arc we saw at the beginning of Iron Man 1. The beginning of Iron Man 1 is him building a suit, becoming Iron Man, and then he becomes too dependent on that suit, and this him blowing up the suits is him going, you know what, I don't need these suits. I am Iron Man. Like I can build and do whatever I need to do in the future. The practicality of that we could discuss all day.
Yeah.
But it's what he did. He did it for Pepper. We've seen him be wasteful before.
Yeah. Peed the suit in Iron Man 2.
Like he did. I think in a way it's the same thing where he throws the guy's phone, breaks it, and he goes, "Bill me."
Yeah.
He's just like, I'll build more, whatever. I'm rich and I am smart and I'll build as many of these as I want. And we don't know if all of them exploded. The 42 is probably still sitting on the top of that bridge in pieces.
No, he said blow it.
That's right. He did blow 42. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking about
because he put it on Killian.
There may be a suit up there somewhere or still at the house.
It looked like all of them came out though. Maybe. And it was a clean slate protocol. You can't have a clean slate if you still have one.
Yeah, but, you know, he's Tony Stark.
Yeah.
He also didn't have his suit, but he happened to have a repulsor under his shirt. Like,
yeah.
I bet he's got some tech somewhere.
He's got something stashed.
Something at Stark Tower in New York is still, like, hanging out.
Sorry. That, something that bothered me a little bit, but I guess is kind of consistent with Iron Man 2, was Iron Patriot being reappropriated so easily. Like, Iron Man yeah. 1, or Iron Man 2, they established there are protocols to keep anybody not authorized to use the suit from using the suit.
Yes.
But then, you know, it gets hacked because the software got changed because software is shit. And I guess they didn't get Tony's software back in it for our war machine?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much. It seems like he gave it over to the government and they may have reprogrammed it, made it easier. That's one thing. They may have just made it easier so that other soldiers could use it other than Rhodey.
That's not a good idea, though.
Me, well, obviously.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. War Machine rocks. With an X, all caps. So
much. That was so great. The comedy in this movie was great.
The comedy was, yes. Yes.
Comedy was wonderful. I loved every interaction with the little kid.
Yeah. Ty Simpkins. He was... Yeah. He was just as annoying as he needed to be. And we talked about this during the movie. He would have been... awesome.
Oh, yeah.
If his name had been Peter, uh-huh. And then like his workshop gets set up at the end and he has like an Iron Spider suit or something.
Well, not even that. I just think it would have been amazing, like, nod and to the canon if, like, you know, they can't use Peter Parker. We know that.
Yeah.
But if they just named the kid Pete or Peter and then didn't touch it again, and then, you know, 7 or 8 years later when it's time to bring Spider-Man to the universe. Of course, now I'm realizing it's only 2 years later, so maybe the timeline wouldn't have worked. But then they strike that deal, they could be like, oh yeah, he was Spider-Man all the time. All the while there's a different Spider-Man movie on in the same year.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I think that would have been great. Because they could have named the kid Pete. They didn't have to say anything about it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Peter Parker. It could just be like, that's Pete.
And then
it's little Pete over there.
4 movies later, Peter Parker had his shop set up by Tony Stark.
And was like, I'm going to build everything. And then he built the web shooters and like got bitten by a radioactive spider.
Absolutely. And his parents have to die and he moves into New York with his aunt and uncle. Like, we're doing great.
Yes, exactly that.
I love it.
You're welcome, Marvel. You can have that if you want to use that.
It's too late. They didn't call him Pete. I don't know that they used his
damn
name.
Damn it, Shane Black. What was his name? It's all your fault.
I love Shane Black, by the way. I love the style of this movie.
I didn't like the style of the credits. It felt disjointed.
I hated the style of the credits. I don't at all.
It was all like 70s. And
yeah.
Tony Stark's not.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it.
When has he ever been accused of being nostalgic? He said that in Iron Man 1.
Mm-hmm. I liked the credits. I don't know if I would even call them 70s. They have funk music playing behind them, which makes them seem 70s. And then the little lines. Honestly, to me, they look more modern than that. They are collage-y, lots of cuts and weird wipes and stuff, which could be 70s. But yeah, originally I felt 70s too. But when I'm on a rewatch, I was like.
Yeah, I remember there being the like the weird trails behind everything that you always got in the 70s, yeah, but that didn't happen.
No, I felt
like I remembered that happening, though.
Yeah, I think I think maybe we both thought it was more 70s than it was when we first watched it.
I think I just like imprinted that into my head, like it had to be. There obviously was. And it was probably because of the All Hail the King one-shot had the Super 70s.
Oh, yeah, that was Super 70s, stuff. And that one made sense because it was his.
Yeah, because... It was,
he was from the. He was an actor from the 70s.
What was the? Damn it! Russian police cop, KGB. Damn it! Any other time, I would have remembered the name of that series that he was in.
Nice. I don't know. Oh man, well that was. I really enjoy this movie. I know you don't. I know it's not your favorite.
I.
But I enjoy it.
I enjoyed most of it. It's just there were a few key points that just really threw it off for me. And if they had not done those, I still would have really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, and most of those I just don't care about at all.
Well, like, the thing that I keep going back to in my head is that Aldrich Killian, in the Extremist storyline in the comics, killed himself to keep the research that he was doing from getting into the wrong hands, or he was, it was either that or he was so stricken with grief over it being such a bad thing getting out, he just killed himself because he couldn't take it.
Hmm. But that would have been an interesting character. I don't like the character of Aldrich. I think that's my main problem with the movie is I don't really like the character of Aldrich Killian.
Yeah.
I don't think he's very interesting.
Yeah.
I think just mean of the Iron Man villains, he's the worst.
Yeah.
And the other two aren't touted as great. I like them. I like Whiplash, and I particularly actually like Obadiah Stane. I think he's a good villain for the first movie.
Well, he's got like reasons for what he does.
Absolutely. And so does being left, having a very small prank pulled on you by Tony Stark does not seem like a very good reason. Like, that's a really tiny prank.
That's a really not good reason to kill the president.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's not why he's doing it. He's just doing it for power. But that makes him a mustache twirler.
And you know how Matt feels about mustache twirlers.
I don't like mustache twirlers. Don't like it. I don't like it. Anytime the main reason you can think of a character wanting something is just because they want power, it's not good.
Yeah. See, like, the Mandarin could be wanting to reclaim his family's former stature because... like,
sure, there's plenty of ways you could use the Mandarin, but they didn't. They didn't.
They need to.
Just get past it.
No. Iron Man 4 needs to be the Mandarin.
I hope there's an Iron Man 4.
Me too.
That'd be real good.
I really want
now
that to happen.
Now that they're introducing all this... I mean, we've already... they're still dropping 10 rings.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So 10 rings are still in their minds. So I think it's very possible they could bring back the Mandarin. And they could even bring back Ben Kingsley, given the canon that they have so far. So, or someone else who could be great.
But nobody's going to do it like Ben Kingsley could have.
Oh, yeah, but someone could do it just as well. Someone could do it just as well.
Maybe. Maybe. So, I don't know. Marvel's doing a really great job here lately of bringing in, like, unknown people that you've just never heard of or seen before, or that you've seen in, like, only a few tiny things.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's the best thing ever.
Talk about the directors is what's blowing my mind. They're bringing these people who've done very small films to these huge films. And it's people that are good at the... as far as I can tell, and this may just be me, I think a lot of their effects work is not... they're not relying on their directors for a big portion of how they do their effects.
Yeah.
I think they have really big special effects teams that are just moving from project to project because they get these directors that are just good with timing and actors and worrying and about
telling a story.
Yes. And worrying about that side of it and all the big special effects and blow 'em ups. Like they don't have to worry about that as much. Cause I think they have a really solid special effects team that's handling a lot of that.
So yeah.
I'm sure they're involved in the creative decisions as part of that and telling the story, but they don't have to come up with, what's the best way to shoot, you know, Captain America falling off this building or whatever. Like,
yeah, they don't have to put a dark sepia tone over everything and take out the color in Superman's cape. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just can't leave DC alone this week. You just can't.
I just really don't like what Zack Snyder's doing.
We'll see. It's coming soon. Coming soon.
It's going to fail.
I doubt it.
Nah, it's going to get a whole lot of movies. It's going to get a whole lot of money because of the names.
Speaking of not failing, freaking Star Wars, man.
Star Wars was real good.
It was good.
It was the best Star Wars movie.
That's exactly what I've been saying. It's the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen. But that's from a guy who doesn't like Star Wars that much. I still don't. This movie was good. It was good. It set up a world that I'm really excited to revisit.
Yeah.
It was so much like A New Hope, though, that watching it, the plot points were so similar. I I was kind of taken out of, like, oh, I know how the story's going to end, you know?
Yeah. The things that they did, though, to get to the certain points, like, we need to be there. How are we going to get there? Well, yeah. Here's what we're gonna, how we're going to get there. Like, wait, you're going to do what?
Yeah.
Like, they're doing new things, and, like, it's interesting to see how they're going to do them, and really entertaining, in my opinion.
It was a very entertaining movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I actually went to see it twice, which I don't often do. The last movie I went to see twice, I think, was probably, well, Avengers, Marvel movies I see twice.
Yeah, Ant-Man.
Not much. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with the coming stories in that universe. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any more thoughts about Iron Man 3?
I think we've pretty much covered everything. Pepper's arc was a little weird. They did the whole, like, let's wrap everything up in a nice, neat little bow off screen. You know, we took care of everything.
Yeah.
She no longer has the thing. It took a little tinkering. And, like, that was a little bit odd, but, like, I'm glad that she's not in danger.
That's anymore. One thing. This is the only Marvel movie I can think of that uses narration.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love where they, what they did with it in the end. Making it him talking to Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. That was pretty amazing. But I don't believe they've ever used narration in that way. I mean, Jessica Jones they did, but other than that, not really. They don't really use it. And I guess technically they didn't in this one, because technically he was just telling the story to someone else. But that's still him narrating what's going on.
So. Yeah. One thing that kind of, like, throws me for a loop a little bit is the time frame. Like, at the end when he was talking to Mark Ruffalo's character,
mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, I'm not that kind of doctor or whatever. He was saying, like, 1983, I was 14 and I still had a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have put him being born in 69.
Yeah.
And does that fit with everything? Like, does that fit with the films that we see in Iron Man 2 where Tony's messing with the stuff for the expo? Like, in that outtake or whatever? And then, like,
well, Stark Expos happen every year.
Yeah, but, like, that particular film that he was watching,
we,
like,
don't know what year that was, because yeah. We've never actually met that Howard Stark.
And then Stark was still alive in 89, and wasn't it 1990 that the car crash happened?
I'm not sure.
We need to watch Winter Soldier again, which I got for Christmas, by the way.
Woo!
Yeah, boy.
But see, we brought it all back around to Christmas.
Yeah, we did.
Holiday special style.
Holiday special. So, I guess that kind of fits. It's just, it was a little off-putting to be like, whoa, you were 14 and, huh?
So, yeah, he would have been about 20 when his father died in a car wreck, if that's the case. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
How old was Howard Stark in Ant-Man? Or what year was that supposed to be?
It was 89 is that when 89? That yeah. happened. And he looked, that was John Slattery, so yeah. He had aged quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
He had to be young in Agent Carter and Cap.
Yes.
World War II.
So, yeah, if he was born in 69, yeah. I mean, yeah, pretty young. He had been in his late 20s, early 30s, it seems like.
That was 40...
3 or 44, I believe.
No, it was 45 is when Agent Carter was happening.
Gotcha.
So, if, I mean, we're talking, it's been... My brain shut off for a second. It's 44, been 44 years.
44 years. So
since
he,
then.
He could be in his 60s or 70s in 89.
He definitely looked 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. Late 60s, early 70s. It seems like probably the time frame.
Yeah.
Cool. Well.
I also want to say.
Yeah.
Just because it happened this week. Happy 93rd birthday to Stan Lee.
Oh.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Stan Lee. Thank you so much for
all for making done. This for us.
Yeah, for being such a big part of this universe. I liked Stan Lee's cameo in this movie.
Yeah, the judge and Miss Chattanooga.
Yeah, that was great. You got something else?
No, I thought about the guy in the news van that, like, modeled his look after Tony Stark and then, like, had the tattoo.
Yeah, I liked that guy a lot. He's on a show on TV that I like. Happy Endings was the name of it. I liked that show.
I haven't seen it.
He was the main character on that show.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. I'll trust you.
Yeah, you should. I'm very good at TV. I mean, Iron Man 3 is great. I mean, Iron Man 3 of the Iron Mans is my least favorite Iron Man.
Okay.
But I don't dislike it in any way. Like, rewatching it, though, I think, like, it's my least favorite Iron Man. I think the villain is the least compelling. But honestly, I love the Mandarin flip so much. For the same reasons you hate it, I love it so much. I love when people mess with my expectations. When my expectation is this, and then it completely fools me into something else. That's what I love. That's my favorite thing. I think we're just never going to come together.
We're not.
Because I just love when my expectations are completely averted.
Well, see, like, my expectations were averted and then let down. Like, real bad. Like, yeah. Oh, you're going to sub out, and he's the... Okay, so he's going to be the... Well, he's not doing a very good job. He has one thing. He does one thing. He has fire.
Yeah, well, he's not a Mandarin. You're still searching for him to be the Mandarin.
I want somebody to be the Mandarin because
he was trying to be. They were trying to set him up as like an evil Tony Stark.
Yeah,
basically, like you know,
we've had too much of like villain and
guy
hero.
Who's the same as the villain.
Yeah, so like
I agree.
Wizard, a guy who like uses technology, alien technology, to effectively be a wizard versus Iron Man would be an awesome display.
It would be a really cool movie. I'm not denying it. And I think we're going to get it. I think
with All Hail the King.
Well, no. Retcon. I was going to say just with Doctor Strange coming into the universe.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to get some of that technology versus wizardry.
Yeah.
And
I'm okay with
looking
that.
Forward to it.
Looking forward to Doctor Strange.
They've brought in new people into the Avengers movies, they've always fought first. So I can't wait to see Doctor Strange fight Iron Man.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
Yeah.
I'm excited about
him having an epic showdown with like Scarlet Witch would be intense.
Yeah.
Magic on magic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about Doctor Strange and Black Panther because based on what we're hearing, it sounds like they're going up. So they've needed to kind of retract and tell smaller stories. And in a way, those stories are going to be smaller in that they're about one character and their journey. But they still seem like they're going to be pretty epic and pretty large scale things. So
yeah.
And in Spider-Man, of course, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about a Spider-Man movie.
I like that they're keeping Spider-Man in high school for a while rather than it just being like, here he is introduced. Now he's graduating. Now it's 2 years later. I'm like, what?
Didn't they push Spider-Man back?
No.
Did that not happen?
No.
Did I dream that?
You dreamt that. I don't know why you would. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I really thought I heard that, but I don't know where I heard it. So
nah.
Oh, well.
Nope.
Look into it. All right. Well, I think that's all we're going to talk about Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
We exhausted ourselves on Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
I love it. I would rank it highly. Jeff would not.
The parts that weren't the parts that screwed it up for me, I would give an 8.5.
Yeah.
Or 9. Like, it had me right up until the big twist, and I went, no, no, really, no, no.
Yeah, I think that's just your immaturity.
Fuck you, that's my immaturity.
You just can't accept that things aren't the way you want them to be.
Notice also that Marvel went back and fixed it.
Well, yeah.
So it's not just me.
So nerds like you would stop that.
So that nerds like me would be happy?
Yeah.
You have to please everybody, Matt. Yeah. You know that.
The All Hail the King thing is quite a wonderful turn to try to please all those who really hated something. I don't even know if they decided to do it after the fact. Because it came out on the DVD, right?
No, it came out with the Thor 2 DVD.
Oh, really? So yeah. It came out even later? Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
That was them fixing it.
Yeah, that does seem like the case. Oh, man. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We're the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. We'll be back probably next week with some news and feedback. We're kind of winging it for the holiday season because we've got...
because it's the holiday season.
The holiday season. So we'll be back with you guys very soon, though. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.